We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's 6 a.m. Atlanta. Time to get your day started with John and Hugh.
Hugh Douglas.
Good googly moogly.
A three-time Pro Bowler. And John Fricke.
You got serious butthurt.
A man who's watched the Pro Bowl at least three times.
Boom shakalaka.
John, a man who covered the Atlanta Chiefs inaugural season.
And Hugh, who just keeps it real.
I'm good. I got pants on.
Let's get your day started, Atlanta. This is John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome to a Tuesday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Tuesday, October the 27th with John and Hugh from the Mobile Kia Studios. As we count down towards Halloween, and I have no candy in my house, so don't come knocking on my door on Saturday. Hugh, what is up?
This year, Halloween's following the weekend.
Yeah, I'm supposed actually, to say,
me
is
and
it this
boys
year?
Are trick or treating, John. That's what you're supposed to say.
Yeah, isn't this year like it's Halloween is Halloween's on a Saturday, and it's also the day that we that the clocks fall back.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not doing too much. I'll probably watch the kids. It'll probably be some kids out trick or treating. I'm pretty sure that people are going to throw some parties and things of that nature. I won't be involved in any of that, you know. But happy Halloween. You know, I'm pretty sure there might be some people trunk-or-treating in the neighborhood. I can see definitely see people trick-or-treating within the confines of, like, you know, people that they know, people they're comfortable with and things of that nature. I can definitely see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could do that, too. I can see that as well. And, you know, that makes perfect sense. People are going to, what they call you, like you said, trunk-or-treat or you know, have being small parties.
I did not know that was a big thing. Like, trunk-or-treating is a big – I didn't know how big of a deal that was. That is a huge deal.
Yeah, I didn't either. I think it's a fairly, you know, new thing. At least, I mean, we never had it when we were growing up. There was no such thing as trunk or treat, but.
Nah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I started seeing it about, I don't know, 8-10 years ago, and I was like, okay. You know, at least, but maybe that's just me. You know, Halloween is not my orbit here. Though, if you're a big Halloween person, see people out there going, you know what? How about Halloween this year? And they were looking forward to it. You know, this is way back. It was BC. You know, before COVID. Yeah. And people were saying Halloween's going to be on a Saturday, which is, you know, fairly rare. And then it's going to be on a Saturday where the clocks fall back, which is almost never going to happen, which means we get an extra hour to party. The Halloween parties this year, Saturday night, extra hour. They're going to be so lit. And now, of course, you know.
They're going to be so lit. You don't know the Ghetto Boys verse, but you know lit. That's interesting.
Well, I'm working my way there, Hugh. That's all I can tell you, okay? I'm a work in progress.
No, you're good. But it's just funny. Man.
Okay,
it's, whatever. I tried it here. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that it's going to be like that, and then we're dealing with what we're dealing with right now. But hey, you know, it is what it is, John.
I know. Everybody was just so excited for it, and I was happy for people that they were excited for it because, you know, I don't know. It's just maybe it's just me. You know, Saturday night is to me. Saturday night is a college football night. That's what it is.
Well, yeah. I mean, for us, it's a little different because on Saturday night, for us, we're kind of working. You know what I mean? We're kind of like in work mode, and we're watching football, and we're doing it like that. So yeah, it's a little different for us.
I always like to. I mean, there are occasionally you'll listen to sports talk radio, and you'll notice that there are some sports talk shows who will never admit that they're wrong, even if they are wrong. They just, you know, well, I, you know, and they'll spin it somehow. Hey, listen, sometimes I'm just wrong. One of the things I was wrong about was how good the LA Rams apparently were going to be this year, because I'm not sure I saw this coming. I thought the Rams might finish, you know, last in the division. As it stands, that NFC West is unbelievably tight, and the Rams at 5-2 might finish last in that division because that's how good the division is. As bad as the NFC East is, as good as the NFC West is. But Hugh, that's a pretty good looking football team.
Yeah, man, you're talking about the interception. They got a huge interception when the Bears were getting ready to score. Yeah, they look like they might be kind of tough, John. You know, it was just funny. I was just thinking about before we got on the air that we were talking about what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are doing, and we were trying to figure out what team that could match them and give them some fits. It might be the L.A. Rams. I don't think offensively that would probably be a little bit of an issue because the Rams' defense is pretty good. But defensively, I think the Rams can give them a run for the money.
Yeah, well, Aaron Donald is just, he is a beast. I mean, he's the best defensive lineman in the NFL right now. He's on the top of his game. He remains on the top of his game. And, you know, on his way to, you know, Canton at some point. And the Bears, Hugh, your Super Bowl Bears are in – the trade deadline is coming up in 3 weeks. They made a trade – well, actually, I take that back. The trade deadline is coming up in about a week. I think it's a week – as a matter of fact, it is. It's a week from today. Yeah, it's election day. Yeah, also trade deadline day. It's a week from today. They made the trade in the offseason to go out and get Nick Foles. They need to make another trade for quarterback.
Yeah, I keep hearing that. You know, there was some speculation, some talk about that, like about a week ago, you know, talking about whether or not what they were going to do at that position. And maybe, you know, there were some names linked to that. Don't know if that's going to happen, John. But, yeah, that has been a topic of discussion as of late for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, you know, you could end up with, you know, them just cutting Mitch Trubisky. I mean, just cutting him. I mean, what else are they going to do?
I don't think that's going to happen, but, you know.
Are you going to cut Nick Foles? I mean, if you go out and pick up another quarterback, somebody's got to get cut.
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to do that. If they do, they'll just have a bunch of quarterbacks in the quarterback room.
Whew, that'd be interesting. Yeah, Trubisky and Foles and Fitzpatrick or, you know, where would you go? I mean, Tyrod Taylor, Jameis Winston, there are going to be guys that could potentially be available. You know, it's like, you know, do you want Jameis? Would Jameis be a fit there? Maybe.
Would you trade for Jameis? That's what you're saying, John?
Yeah.
Trade for Jameis? I don't know. Now, that is a question that I do not have the answer to. That would be something that I would not have, you know, have privy knowledge of. I don't think that they would do that. They got to ride with the person that brought them there. I guess that would be Nick Foles.
Yeah, I guess so. Good luck to you if you're going to do that, apparently, because that Bears offense right now, it needs a shot in the arm. Sort of like the Falcons defense needs a shot in the arm. Falcons defense needs anything right now. Oh, my God.
They need a pass rusher.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Marlon Davidson got cleared off COVID, but, you know, for that pass rush, you know, Chuck Smith is coming up at 7 o'clock this morning.
We need a hero.
Yeah, and we're going to talk to Chuck about this, about the lack of pass rush. And I was just going through the numbers yesterday. I mean, the numbers don't lie sometimes. Yeah, I understand stats are stats, Hugh, but the numbers don't lie. I mean, if you look at the top teams in the NFL going into the game last night, Pittsburgh had 26 sacks. Where are they? 6-0, right? Tampa's got 25 sacks.
Gotta, you know, look at where they're at. Yeah, got to get to the quarterback.
The Falcons, who have the worst pass defense in the NFL, dead last in pass defense. You know, Pittsburgh has 26 sacks. Tampa's got 25. The Falcons have 10. They have 10.
What? What was that? Go and talk about yay. Falcons got 10 sacks. Yay. That's not a yay moment, though, bro. I mean, to be honest, that's not something that is like cats should be proud of. I mean, that means you can't get to the quarterback. I mean, you cannot get to the quarterback at all. And that's not a good thing. That is not a good thing. Because, you know, but you know what's funny? We were told early on, and not blaming anybody. I mean, it is what it is. We were told this, that, you know, sacks didn't really matter that much. Like, you know, just, you know, you affecting a quarterback or moving him off the spot was just as good. I never was a fan of that. I never subscribed to that. But I mean, hey, I'm not a head coach, and I'm not somebody that has to convince, you know, people that, you know, that's not the case. You know, that's not what I do. But yeah, I always felt like, you know, you get the quarterback on his back. That was the job of a defensive lineman. And this team really didn't do a great job of that.
Well, Myles Garrett has 9 sacks this year. Aaron Donald now has 8, 9 and 8. Falcons have 10 as a team. We played, what, 7
games,
right?
Sacker is, your leading sacker is Grady Jarrett, if I'm not mistaken.
I think with 1.5. Dante Fowler, 1 sack. Tack McKinley, 1 sack, and it came on the very first snap of the season when he sacked Russell Wilson.
Had yeah. Tack came had, on no, like a he, gangbuster. Came yeah. on, like, right. looked like Tack was about to turn the corner. Unfortunately for him, John, he got hurt.
He did get hurt.
But listen. This is a game where ain't nobody caring about you being hurt, man. You got to go, and he can't go, and it's safe to say he probably won't be here next year. I mean,
I think that's safe to say. I think there's going to be a lot of changes. Yes,
it's safe to say Tack's not going to be here. I can't see the new regime signing Tack to a deal.
I can't see that. Nope. I mean, it's you know, he's in his walk year right now. You know, they. I can't see that happening. No. Yeah, Tank is going to be gone. Matter of fact, there are going to be a lot of changes to this team next year. There are going to be a lot of new faces.
Agreed.
And
so, it's going to be different. It's going to be a lot different, John. I mean, it's one of those things where, man, listen. It's going to be guys that, you know, we like that probably won't be here.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
That we're going to be looking around like, wow, he's gone. Yeah, he's gone too. Yeah, he got to go.
Yeah, right. I know. And look, I'm going to have to put – we're all going to have to put our faith in the new regime, Hugh. We have no choice. We have no choice. We can't say, okay, we're not going to welcome in the new regime and allow you to make the changes that you want to make. We want to stay with what we have. We can't do that.
Oh, no, that's not going to happen, John. I don't think anybody in their right mind thinks that. I don't think anybody in their right mind thinks that, hey, you know, it's going to be a lot of people that survive this. I mean, you know, unfortunate.
Yeah, no.
It's unfortunate, but that's kind of, you know, what it is. It's like, it's going to be a lot of cats that, we need a hero.
Yeah, right, exactly. And Chuck Smith's going to be here at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. Should be a lot of fun. We want to talk to him about what's the disconnect? Is it a coaching thing? Is it a teaching thing? Is it a talent thing? Is it everything? Probably everything, but, you know, see what he has to say about this because he is the pass rushing guru. So we'll get Chuck involved
here. Dr. Rush
at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. Next up, though, we'll get Oren involved. He'll have the morning mashup, some of the fun things. Oren, you still have that Jeff Garcia thing?
We'll be hearing that and Cam's response to that Jeff Garcia comment.
See,
and
even
that
better.
Is Oren doing a tease.
Yeah, that's what's Oren doing a tease.
That's how you do the tease, brother.
Yep, that's next. Wait to hear Jeff Garcia and Cam going at each other about their styles. All right, it's just Jeff Garcia. We continue next on The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90 on The Game.
It's 6:20, Atlanta. Time for the morning mashup.
Yay! A recap of the biggest stories of the morning with John and Hugh.
Crazy.
You know, on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90.9, The Game on this Tuesday. Hope you're having a nice day. Going to be a beautiful fall day in Atlanta. Morning mashup time. Some of the interesting stories we may have missed, including one that we had kind of yesterday, but we waited on it because we wanted to see what the reaction to it would be. And it is it was worth waiting for, I think, Hugh Douglas. Oren Romain, what is up?
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. It's kind of rainy down in Midtown today, but I hope it's going to be.
There's another hurricane
day.
Coming, for crying out loud.
Zeta.
Sweet Zeta.
Sweet Zeta.
Hugh in Greek, because
Sweet Zeta coming.
And the only thing I know about Greek is, like, you know, Souvlaki. Okay, that's about it. Zeta, is that...
You're talking about the Euro?
Yeah, like a gyro, hero, or gyro.
It all depends on,
hungry you are.
Yeah, we ain't playing semantics today. We ain't going to do that. We ain't going to do you like that.
I call it a hero, but anyway.
Hero.
Is that one of your, on your side of the, is there, or that's a sorority?
Are you asking us that? Is that a sorority, Joffrey?
Is it a fraternity? I don't know.
Yes. No, that's our sister.
There is one group of Greek organizations that has a constitutional bond, and it is the Sigmas.
Sigmas and the Zetas.
Okay, there you go. See, I was just asking.
No, it was just funny the way you asked, though. I gave you a hard time. But no, you're right. It is. They're constitutionally bonded. Yes.
All right. There you go. All right. See, I'm learning. I admit this is the theme of the day. Sorry to take your thunder.
No.
Go ahead.
Thunder?
We're good.
Thunder don't mind there, John. Thunder don't mind where it goes. The aforementioned Jeff Garcia. So the Patriots and the 49ers, they played a game on Sunday, and the 49ers drubbed the Patriots. Jeff Garcia is a member of the 49ers TV crew, and during the postgame, he had some very interesting comments about, well, you know, Cam's being Cam, but if Cam's going to keep on playing the way that he does, he needs to change some stuff up a little bit.
You go into this game, 2 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. You throw, what, 3 more interceptions? You get yanked in the second half. There's nothing good going your way. Why are you dressing like that to bring more attention to yourself? I'd be trying to ask the equipment managers, put me in your jock sock cart and sneak me in the back door, and I'll show up on the field and do the best that I can.
Jeff, this sounds like you're speaking from too much experience here, okay? This sounds like you're speaking from experience.
This just goes back to a couple years of just watching this guy and seeing him at the podium, but yet what he's doing on the field does not translate to being that guy.
Like
and
Joe
I just
Montana.
Feel like...
I mean, Joe Namath.
Yeah.
The fur coat.
Yeah, yeah, when you predict you're going to win a Super Bowl and you go out and do it, wear whatever the hell you want. But, you know, right now, I'm not buying it.
I hear what he's saying, but I don't think that it was appropriate to say it when he was saying it, because I don't think there was a direct correlation between the way Cam Newton dresses and the way that he played. I mean, you might not like the way he dressed. I mean, that's your personal preference. But to take that moment to take a shot at the way he's dressing because he's playing bad, that's kind of bush league. Jeff Garcia, my man, too. Like, you know, Jeff Garcia played in Philly. Got a lot of respect for Jeff. But that one right there, man, that sounded like that was deep-rooted into something else. Maybe Cam didn't sign an autograph for one of his kids or something. It just sounded like it had something else to do
maybe
besides.
Maybe Cam stole Jeff Garcia.
All right, full disclosure.
Yeah.
You know, I've taken shots at Cam on Twitter a little bit. I had some fun with him, some of his sectorial splendor here. I mean, we've all done that because he is an interesting guy. But, yeah, you know, I mean.
I don't, like, listen, man. I always feel like he's making a statement. And it might not be the way that you make your statement, and that's fine. But to take that moment and lump all of that in to everything that's going, that's not cool to me. That's not cool. I mean, it ain't got nothing to do with nothing. The way that he dresses ain't got nothing to do with the way that he played, because he was always a little different. And when he was a little different when he went to the Super Bowl, you know. If I recall, or if I'm wrong, I don't recall Jeff Garcia taking any team to the Super Bowl.
I don't recall him ever doing that either.
I don't recall that. And you know, you talk about the Cam was dabbing when he took that team to the Super Bowl, and he was being Cam. So I don't, you know, it ain't the same. You don't take shots at the cat like that, to me. So, yeah, I think Jeff was a little out of line. I think it was a little something else going on with that. And wait a minute, didn't T.O. come at Jeff Garcia neck? And he did he have a whole lot of retort for that?
I got a feeling that T.O. also talked about the way that Jeff Garcia dressed.
Jeff, like, he talked about Jeff Garcia's manhood.
He made it kind of personal about Jeff, too, then, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he talked about Jeff Garcia. I don't remember Jeff Garcia coming at T.O. neck. That's all I'm saying. Listen, only thing I'm saying is keep the same energy. Like, if you're going to go there, be that guy
24/7.
Yeah, be that guy 24/7.
Right, so and Cam responded, right?
He did respond, and we're going to play Cam Newton's comments. He was on.
Is this like Nas's ether?
We'll see if it's Nas's ether, if it's ether-like. But he does his little weekly hit on WEEI up there in Boston, and this is what he had to say about Jeff Garcia's comments.
The fact that he's a former player, you know, he has every right to say that. And until that happens, then so be it. But that's another opinionated theory. And it's fair to say. So, I mean, I know I come off to so many different people so many different ways, and that's fine. And he you know what? He's exactly right. But I'm not changing the way I dress.
Like, he right, but you can go ahead and stew food there. Jeff right. Garcia, yes.
You know what? Stufu, I like how you did that. I don't have a problem with that comment. I think Cam is matured. I wouldn't have answered it like that. me personally, I wouldn't answer it like that.
Can't afford my clothes. Hugh Douglas,
let's see how Hugh Douglas would answer. How would you answer?
Oh, John, I can't use the words that I would use on the air. But in so many words, I would tell Jeff Garcia if he got something to say, you know, come see me.
Put a pin down, Jeff. We'll talk.
Yeah, we'll talk. Yeah, come up to New England. Come to Boston. Come holler at me. Yeah, that's what I would say. That's not the way to handle things, though, kids. That ain't the way to handle things. You talk things out. That's what grown-ups do. Mature people.
If Cam's choice of post-game attire were the issue right now, I mean, they've got so many issues up in New England. The question was at the beginning of the year, you know, I guess we're going to find out whether it was Brady or Belichick. Well, guess we're finding out. That's all I can tell you.
I think that's a little bit premature, but I mean, you could go with that.
Yeah. So far, Brady, yes. Belichick, no. Subway, no. And anyway, story number two in the match. We only got two.
We call it two here. Yeah. Yesterday, Monday Night Football, the Bears had a less than impressive showing. Nick Foles doesn't look great. There's rumblings about them needing to make a move to get a quarterback in there to have any chances of any long-term postseason aspirations for that team. Brian Griese made a comment during Monday Night Football about a meeting he had. You know, they meet, the broadcasters meet with the players during the week. And he told him something that Nick Foles told him about how they call plays and maybe why sometimes the plays that Matt Nagy calls don't work so well.
We were talking to Nick Foles yesterday, and he said, you know, sometimes play calls come in, and I know that I don't have time to execute that play call. And, you know, I'm the one out here getting hit. Sometimes the guy calling the plays, Matt Nagy, he doesn't know how much time there is back here. And so that's something that they have to get worked out.
Yeah, you would think you would want to work that out.
Ooh, that's not good. Hey, Nick Foles, yeah, they might need a new quarterback because Nick Foles just threw his coach under the bus.
Yep. You know, that team's playing well. I mean, that's a team with five wins right now.
What is he calling? What the hell is that? I don't have time to run that garbage. Hey, listen. It's a whole lot of cats having Nino Brown moments over the last couple of days. I ain't going to mention no names, but, you know, when it comes to, like, when the heat get hot,
the brother from the bank.
Yeah, that is that light-skinned
brother. Matt Nagy, that light-skinned brother with the headset on.
Hey, listen. I ain't got to wear with all the change plays. That ain't on me. That's on somebody else.
My name is Bennett. I ain't in it. That's all I got to say.
Hey, listen. I'm just out here trying to win a football game. That's it. I ain't got time to run that play, but I ain't got time to change it either. Yeah, it's a whole lot of Nino Browns running around the NFL nowadays.
Morning mashup. Story number three.
This is bigger than Nick Foles. yesterday, coaches had their press conferences yesterday around the NFL, coaches and coordinators. And in Dallas, Mike Nolan met with the media. But he had to take a moment to pause during his Zoom session because he didn't wash his hands after he ate.
Obviously, the frustration for him as well is just, you know, look, when he misses them, I got something in my eye. Just had some Tabasco on my finger and it went in my eye. That wasn't good. Oh.
Never good.
It's terrible. Jeez. I'm sorry.
Hang on, guys. I'll be right back.
Give me 1 second.
Had to pause the Zoom so you can take it.
I'm so glad I wasn't at that news conference because I would have said, wait, you're replacing your weak sauce now with hot sauce? That it?
And John, we'd have looked at you if we were there, and we're like, you could have saved that one there, sir.
Hey, go ahead, Frickin. Can you mute your mic there, sir, please? Yes. Can you turn your mic off for us?
But you know what? That made me think. I'm like, dog, if you don't wash your hands after you eat, then, dog, what else you doing? Yeah. What other time you ain't washing your hands? Oh, nasty butt.
Didn't we learn anything, you know, over the last 7 or 8 months that maybe you want to wash your hands?
No, nasty self.
Yeah, he suddenly ends up on. Never mind. I don't want to talk about that. All right, we got more from the morning match. We'll get to throughout the program today because there's a lot going on. Speaking of getting something in your eye, is the blind spot of the head coach in Athens going to cost Georgia again this year? And man, I just, Hugh, I don't really get this, but we're going to talk about The decision that Georgia has made at quarterback. Next on the morning show at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and worldwideradio.com.
We're always evaluating guys. It doesn't change. Y'all can keep asking the questions, but we're always evaluating guys at quarterback, and they're always trying to get better, growing their game. Stetson's still repping with the ones, taking reps. We got other guys' reps, and that was what you do in an offer. You try to grow your team and get them better. But at the same time, we're trying to create continuity, trying to get better as a team and a unit. And, you know, you don't base your season on one game. You base your season on what gives you the best chance to get better, and that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to look at it as, like, what do we have to do to get our team from point A to point B? And that's growth. That's competition. And every position has that. It doesn't change at quarterback. It's what you need to get better, and it's what we're going to continue to do this week.
Kirby Smart talking about trying to get from point A to point B. I think he has, no offense to the coach, backwards. He has to get from point B, where he's at, to point A, and that may require some kind of a change in attitude in Athens. Welcome back to the morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with John and Hugh from the Mobile Kia Studios on this Tuesday. I want to be careful with what I'm about to say here, Hugh, because, you know, knee-jerk reaction is knee-jerk reaction, and we don't know what's going to happen this season. Could be that Stetson Bennett grows into an even better player than he already is. Could be that Stetson Bennett takes Georgia to a national championship because Georgia's that good, and they are still very much in the discussion about winning the national title. And should he do that, then you could sit back and say, you know, hey, listen, Kirby Smart, you know, obviously did the right thing. Coach Smart's gotten them to within a play. If they don't melt down on one play, you know, they win a national title. If they don't melt down on another play against Alabama, they might win two. So it's hard to really point fingers at Kirby Smart. He's elevated the program to the point where they are very much in the discussion. But he has a blind spot. And I don't understand it, Hugh. I don't understand his blind spot at quarterback.
Well, John, I'll say this. I understand what you're saying, but we don't know what's going to happen in the future. And I think that, to be fair to Stetson Bennett, that you can't yank him for one game. I mean, because this is the tough spot that it is, John. You're still alive as far as, you know, being able to make it to the college football championship and all this. Well, being in the 14 playoff and all the other stuff, you're still alive. You only got one loss.
Mm-hmm.
You got Kentucky coming up, which is, by all accounts, when you look at it, a winnable game. So I think that when you talk about evaluating Stetson, I mean, you're going to look at him long and hard during this game. I think that's what we're talking about. I still think it's still up in the air. You don't want to bench the guy for having one bad outing. I mean, you know, who's to say that JT Daniels wouldn't have had a bad outing against that defense himself, you know. But, you know, I think that's where we are with that. So to give Coach the benefit of the doubt, I think this weekend is going to tell us a lot which direction Georgia is going to go in.
No, and again, you're right. This is why I want to be careful not to do a knee-jerk reaction, because, you know, I'm not, you know, because the pandemic, we're not at practice, so we don't know how JT Daniels looks. He had the knee issue. You can't help the fact that Jamie Newman, who was going to be the presumptive starter, you know, decided to opt out for this season. That happens. It's COVID. I get that. But it's not about right now to me so much as it is about the bigger picture of what Kirby has been since he came back home and took over the Dogs program from Mark Richt. And that is, if you look at, again, Justin Fields, and I hate to bring it up, but look at him, what he does and what...
See, that's the problem. That's the problem right there.
Yeah,
you're looking at somebody else's grass. You're looking over there.
But it was your grass that you gave away.
He left, John. He left.
If he had played Justin Fields, even if he had played him in the bowl game in the Sugar Bowl against Texas that they ended up losing, you know, and given Justin a chance, he doesn't want to even give JT Daniels a chance to play right now, because it's as though, if you go back to when Jacob Eason got hurt, okay, mm-hmm. against Appalachian State, he has Jacob Eason and Justin Fields, two first-round quarterbacks who he really doesn't want to play because he doesn't want a quarterback controversy. He's afraid of a quarterback controversy. That's what he's afraid of. He's afraid of, you know, he's just so cautious at that position that he's afraid to take any chance that if I'm a I got to ask Oren because he's a Georgia fan. I don't understand this. Hugh, if he had played Justin Fields, it would have probably been evident that Justin Fields was the better player. Therefore, he probably would have had to have played him, which he didn't want to do because, he had just a comfort level with Jake Fromm. But you got to go outside yourself a little bit.
You know what the unfortunate thing about that whole situation is this. Coming out of Athens, and this is what I heard. I don't know if it's true or not, and it looks like it probably was not true, is that I heard, was hearing stuff like Justin Fields couldn't read defenses, or he couldn't do something to that effect. I don't know if that was true or not now. Because when
does
you look at
like
how
he can't read defenses, I mean, yeah, I know, right?
That's what I just said that.
Right.
But coming out of there, that was what the consensus was. But to be fair, I don't know what offenses they're running at Ohio State. And the only thing that I have to go off of, name escapes me right now. Who was the quarterback in Washington that just got benched from Ohio
Dwayne
State? Dwayne Haskins. That's the only thing that I could go off of. I don't know. Not trying to give Kirby Smart a pass or anything like that. All I'm saying is we don't know what we don't know. So I don't know what the situation was when it comes to that. So even in this situation, I don't know what's the reasoning or the rationale behind him not playing JT Daniels just yet. But I will say this. I don't think that Stetson Bennett needs to be benched right now because that was a tough outing for him. Now, with that being said, John, you got, like I said, you got Kentucky coming up this weekend. If he struggles in the first half, I could see them making the change in the first half of that game. I can see that. I can't because you can't afford. There's no margin of error really when you talk about stuff when you're talking about this. So
well, then
I
explain
can
to me why he wouldn't have gotten JT Daniels snaps already so that he could get into games, get his feet wet, get his feet underneath him.
Okay, John, because you have a week off. So he'll probably, like you said, we're not at practice. We don't know what they're doing. He's probably getting them. And Coach Smart already said that, you know, he's getting a ton of reps. Now, I don't know what the reps count out as. I don't know if he's giving him, who's taking how many reps or who's getting the majority of the reps. But he's taking reps. So there's that. I think this weekend is going to tell you everything you need to know about which direction Georgia is going to go in, to be totally honest.
I just think that they're, you know, watching Alabama play, watching Ohio State play, watching Clemson play, and watching Georgia play, the only thing that's keeping Georgia from being ranked number one is quarterback. At every other spot, now you can say, well, you know, Georgia's only, you know, right now, Hugh, and some fans would be surprised to hear this, Georgia is in the rushing stats in the nation, they're 52nd in the nation in running the football. They're behind Georgia State, they're behind Georgia Southern, they're behind Georgia Tech. They're 52nd in running, which is their bread and butter. And the reason that they're 52nd, Hugh, is people are kind of sort of semi-loading the box on them because they don't worry about any downfield threat from the wide receivers or Stetson Bennett.
I said that last week, John. I said the unfortunate thing about Stetson Bennett is this. He didn't lose you the game, but he didn't do anything to win it for you either. I mean, and that's the knock on him right now. He didn't lose the game. To me, he didn't lose the game against Alabama. But he didn't do nothing to help you win it either.
And if this were a one-off and it were just Stetson this season, I think we could have that discussion because we're not at practice, as you say. That's why I said I wanted to be careful about being knee-jerk. I don't know. JT Daniels might be throwing interception after interception in practice. I have no idea. It's just as a pattern here, and Kirby coming out basically putting his foot in the ground saying, I'm just not going to change again. We talked about evolving the offense last year, and he has chosen not to do that. And, you know, again, he couldn't help Jamie Newman leaving. I get that. But, if I were a Georgia fan, I'd just be scratching my head going, why are you so opposed to you know.
It's a little bit of gamesmanship too, John, I think. I think that you don't want to show your hand. You know, it's still early. I mean, and like I said, Stetson Bennett hasn't done anything to lose you any games yet. Hasn't done anything to help you win any either, though. But hasn't done anything to lose you any.
Well, the Falcons pass rush hasn't done much of anything to help him win a game, that's for sure. And so we thought we'd reach out to the guy who knows a little bit about the pass rush, breaks it all down. Not that you isn't schooled in it. I'm going to let Hugh and Chuck Smith break down a pass rush at the Atlanta Falcons because Chuck's going to be with us next and figure out what the hell is wrong with the fact that we can't get to the quarterback, flat out. It's next on the morning show on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game and worldwide at radio.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
What?
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.